You're listening to the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast, episode number 12.
Welcome to the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast. Business advice so easy, you'll feel like you're cheating. And now your host, Amy Porterfield.
Welcome back to another edition of the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast. I'm Amy Porterfield, and I wanted to personally thank you for listening today. I know that there are a lot of amazing podcasts out there, and the fact that you're listening to mine means the world to me. So again, thank you so much for being here. And today we're going to be talking about mobile marketing. I'm going to be interviewing Greg Hickman. Now, Greg is one of the leading mobile marketing experts and quite honestly, an all-around great guy. At the last Blog World event in Vegas, Greg and I had an impromptu chat in a crowded Starbucks, and it lasted over an hour. We talked shop the entire time, and I instantly knew he was the real deal. That's the one reason I love live events so much. You get the chance to dive into great conversations with people that tend to be more personal and just richer conversations because they're kind of in the real world. There's a difference for sure. Believe me, I live my life online with my business, so I'm a big fan of online marketing and networking online. But there's just something different about those real life experiences where you get to network with people and really see their faces and those little nuances that you get to see in the real world. So definitely, if I could give you just one quick little tip here, totally off topic, make sure you try to get to 1 to 2 live events each year. Now, if money's tight, start local. There's a lot of great local small meetups in your community that you can go to, kind of break out of your shell a little bit, because I know they're a little nerve-wracking at first if you don't know anybody, but they can be great for your business and quite honestly for your self-confidence because you're kind of stepping out of that comfort zone, which is always scary, but also really good. So that's my little tip of the day, but let's get back on track with mobile marketing. So again, I'm interviewing Greg Hickman, and Greg delivers impeccable value on his website, mobilemixed.com, and on his podcast. Now today we're talking about how to get started with mobile marketing. Because if you're anything like me, you've probably been thinking about mobile marketing, but it's not at the top of your priority list. Now, after talking to Greg and hearing some staggering stats about mobile usage, and after hearing about how easy it is to make your website mobile friendly, I was pleasantly surprised about how easy I can get all of this started. And that's why I wanted to share it with you today. So after you hear this interview, I think you're going to be like me and you're going to be ready to turn on that mobile marketing switch a lot sooner than later. So we've got a lot to cover in this session. Let's get started. So Greg, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is a hot topic and it's one that I really have never explored. So you're the first guy to kind of break us into this. And so before we get into all the mobile stuff, I want you to tell us a little bit about how you got into all of this.
Sure. So I got started in mobile marketing in 2005. So this was actually pre-iPhone. And I had the chance to work at a very small marketing agency back east in Connecticut. And we did a lot of mobile promotions for a handful of professional sports teams, which was really, really fun. So I got to work with the New York Jets, the Florida Marlins, Carolina Panthers, and then some brands like AT&T and Axe. And a lot of this was around creating text message marketing programs to build loyalty lists and create mobile content, games, wallpapers, and ringtones when that was kind of cool, when you'd kind of like pimp out your phone.
Right.
But, yeah, so it got started really, really early, and then the kind of the iPhone came out, and I had started my own text message marketing company catering to small businesses and had been consulting for a handful of years, and now I'm actually the mobile marketing lead at Cabela's, which is a large retailer in the hunting, fishing, and retail space, and really wanted to just teach people more about mobile because when I got started and I tried selling smaller businesses on mobile marketing services, they all kind of understood and saw customers with their phone, but they didn't really understand how it tied to their business, how it kind of fit in with everything they were already doing. So I felt there was, you know, this big education gap. So I started my blog and podcast where I started interviewing brands and talked about how they were doing, you know, their strategy, why were they doing certain things the way that they did them, why they used the certain tools that they use. and then broke that down for people that were just getting started. And, you know, I've continued to do so on my blog and on the podcast. And we have a weekly show where we just talk about, you know, different mobile strategies and how different types of businesses can actually use it to grow.
And I think that's so valuable because you're one of the only resources I think out there that's really breaking it down for those that are really new in this space. And I know a lot of people that listen to my podcast, mobile is something that they've been thinking about, but haven't really explored. So let's just kind of start at the top and get us familiar with what is mobile marketing and why is it important?
Absolutely. So mobile marketing is really, when it comes down to it, it's just a set of practices that will enable any business to communicate and engage with our audience really in an interactive way through a mobile device or a mobile network. So what that really means, and I was actually having a conversation with one of my mentors the other day about how mobile, just the word mobile has become so big and really kind of confusing. And when it comes down to it, it really means things like having a mobile website, using things like text message marketing or multimedia messaging, having smartphone applications, Facebook marketing, email marketing, really all of the different things that we do in our business, there's this touch point which is happening on a mobile device. So it's really the one device that we as consumers carry with us, you know, throughout the entire day. And it's really how we engage with a lot of different types of content and different businesses. And it could be doing things that we already do, like email. So I think it's kind of one of the most intriguing marketing channels that really exists right now because it's so personalized. But it really is just looking at ways that you can communicate with your customer using some sort of mobile device.
And why is it so important? I've heard you say some stats that kind of blew my mind about how many people are using mobile and in different places. So give us some of those important stats out there of why it's crucial that we're exploring mobile with our own businesses.
Absolutely. And you know, for your audience, we'll start with Facebook.
Yes.
So Facebook, I mean, it's been reported that about 67% of all Facebook usage is happening from the mobile phone.
That's
so
insane.
Super high, right? And then almost the exact same percentage of Twitter usage is from a mobile phone. And then you look at something like YouTube, which is, you know, video, 25% of global YouTube views are happening on a mobile device. And then the real killer here for me, and I think it's super overlooked, and you know, you've talked about it on even your podcast and your site, is email. And right now, depending on, you know, which source you're looking at, it's anywhere from 41 to 45% of all email opens are happening from a mobile phone. So, you know, as online business builders, we always talk about the money's in the list, how important it is to, you know, capture those emails and all of that. And when you have almost half of your, you know, approaching half of your audience that's going to be opening that email from a mobile phone, if you aren't following some specific practices, you know, you could be, you know, negating, you know, half of your audience. So just little things like that, you know, really can go a long way that people probably aren't even thinking about, or at least yet. So, you know, just the way that we use our mobile device now is really the reason that everyone needs to really be considering this. And I'll give you an example, and I want you to tell me if this is you, because this is totally me. And every single person I talk to is the exact same way.
Okay.
Do you wake up to your phone alarm?
I do.
Okay. So then do you grab your phone and within maybe the first 30 minutes look at email?
I would love to lie right now and say I don't, because that's such a bad habit, but 100% I do that.
Okay. So then do you have an iPhone?
I do.
Okay. So for all the iPhone users, and I forget exactly the same process applies for if you're using different phone, but essentially what you do is you click that edit button in the top right corner, and then you see all those little circles that kind of go down the left side of your phone, and you tap as many of them as possible that you think are emails that, you know, you don't need to deal with that morning or what have you, that, you know, didn't catch your eye, that just don't seem important, and you click delete, and you delete probably, you know, 5 to 15 emails all at once,
instantly.
Right before probably before you get out of bed.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. I like can't even believe I'm admitting this, but that's exactly what I do. And I'm just like delete, 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 because who wants more emails that they're not going to read?
Exactly. It's stressful. So it's actually become, the mobile device has become a filter for what emails we actually let into our inbox when we're when we're finally sitting down at our computer to like really engage with email. So, you know, I think for anyone that's building a business online, you know, that's totally something that you need to consider, because if you're sending emails out early in the morning, your email could be one of those that's getting deleted if, you know, you're not following some of these best practices that we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Okay, that's great. I just made myself a note because I got to talk about that whole filter strategy when we get to that part. That's good stuff. And you mentioned, you know, over 60% of people are accessing Facebook on a mobile device. And I've talked about this before, but anyone listening that kind of follows me because of my Facebook marketing strategies, the reason why that is such an alarming number to me is that I also teach how to create custom applications on Facebook. And the reason why these custom applications are so important is because that is an opportunity for you to collect names and emails, like create a little lead opportunity list on a custom app. And when you're looking at Facebook on a mobile device, those custom apps are not automatically accessible. You're not even seeing them. Now, there's a way around this, and we'll get there in a minute. But really, that's so important to know that you're missing a lot of what's going on a Facebook desktop versus mobile, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you're the Facebook expert. Some of those things I probably don't even know about, to be honest. But I mean, it's just if you actually look at every once in a while, I go look at some of the, you know, the big brands that I follow, or even kind of people like yourself, and you look at the comment threads on Facebook, and you know, in the bottom it says like the date and time, and if it's from a mobile device, it usually says via mobile. You start counting those up, and you can see that's usually over 50% of the time that it's coming from a mobile device. So just the way that you engage with people, where you're engaging with them, you know, having that mindset of, hey, someone might be doing this from a phone, could and should make you think about the way that you're posting your content, maybe the length of content and things like that, that, you know, could affect conversion at some point in your funnel.
That's so true. And I think that this is going to become, accessing Facebook on a mobile device is going to become even more popular as we, you know, get going with, I think mobile is just getting the attention of online marketers. And so I'm saying here, it's going to get even bigger. And the reason why I know this is because about 6 months ago, I posted on my Facebook page, are you reading this post from a mobile device or your desktop?
And I replied to that.
Did you? Okay, because I recently did it. But when I did it 6 months ago, most people said desktop. You probably saw it recent, right? Mm-hmm. And it was very split this time. So just within like the last 6 months, I realized, holy cow, like it's already making this big shift. And it made me nervous because I know that, and one of the reasons I'm completely selfish sometimes on my podcast, I invite people on so I too can learn. And this is one area that I really want to optimize. So that's why I was like, I got to get Greg on the show ASAP. So let's kind of dive in and make this a little bit more actionable for people. And when I learned from you, one of the things I learned from you is that mobile is really about making the best possible experience for your online traffic. Whether they come to you from a desktop or a mobile, you've got to be ready for both. So for those that have not yet tackled mobile marketing in their business, where should they start?
Well, it's a great question. And basically you kind of led into it perfectly. I mean, if you're out there and you're, you know, you're using email, you're using Facebook, Twitter, all these different channels, you're always, for the most part, driving them back to your site. I mean, even on your podcast, I mean, you're ultimately driving people back to your site, and that's where your content is. That's where you engage your audience, and you know, your audience turns into customers. So the first thing that anyone should do is make sure that their website is mobile friendly. And I'll give you kind of three options that you have in order to accomplish this. And, you know, depending on your budget, your situation, your timing, your resources, you know, one of these will work for you. So the first one, probably the easiest, is there's a WordPress plugin called WP Touch. Now, there's a free version, and then now have a pro version. The pro version, I highly recommend if you're going to go this route. It's about $50. It's like a one-time payment. And you have some flexibility on kind of mobile optimizing your site, making it look a little bit flashier than the free plugin, which only mobile optimizes your blog posts. So if you have other things going on in your site, really this plugin only caters to the actual blog portion. But it's a place to start, especially if you have a blog right now and you want to make sure that people can read it from wherever, you know, whatever device they're on. So WordPress Touch Pro is a WordPress plugin. The second is using some sort of content management system. There's a handful out there that allow you to build a separate site. If you've ever visited you know, a site from your phone and notice that it redirected to an M dot and then the domain, they're most likely, that site's usually a separate, complete separate version of the site. They manage the content in a different area, almost like a kind of a WordPress style dashboard, if you will. And there are two providers out there that I highly recommend. One is called Duda Mobile, D-U-D-A Mobile, and you know, very, very low cost to get started. And then the other is BlueTrain Mobile, a little bit more expensive, but much more flexibility in kind of the what the creative look and feel looks like. But again, you're kind of creating a separate version of your site. You'd be managing that content to some degree in a separate platform, in a separate tool than, say, WordPress, if you're using WordPress. Now, the last one, which is what I highly recommend for content built content marketers, online business builders, people like yourself, is using responsive design. And responsive design is really available through a lot of different WordPress themes that you can purchase. So if you're going to purchase a theme, look for one that says it's responsive. And responsive essentially means that your site uses one set of code and uses what they call media queries to just detect the resolution and width of the screen that is trying to access your site. And usually what the WordPress themes do is they'll have anywhere from 3 to 4 breakpoints where, you know, if you're on a desktop and you start dragging the bottom right corner of that website window in, you'll see it kind of adjust the content around the size of a tablet, maybe even a smaller tablet, and then down to the smartphone size screen. And you can really get these themes for very, very affordable prices. I use a WordPress responsive theme on my site, and, you know, it cost me $75, and that was a premium one. So, you know, considering your situation, you know, you have those three options. If you just spent a lot of money on redesigning your site and it's not responsive, use the first or second option for now. But the long-term plan or kind of future, I would like to see, or I think businesses should start going in that responsive direction.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I've done for my site, is the whole responsive thing. And I've noticed that, and you've probably had this experience, when you go to somebody's site from your mobile phone and it's not mobile friendly, it's like the first thing I do is just click off of it. It's because it's so frustrating.
Exactly. And there's a statistic that a report that kind of came out, and I always confuse who it came from. It was either Google or this company called Gomez. And okay. I have it on my site actually. And it's basically, if a user comes to your site and they have trouble accessing it, which can mean maybe it loads too slow, it's not mobile optimized, they have to kind of pinch and zoom, all that sort of thing, there's a 47% chance that they will never come back to your site again from their
phone.
Wow. Right. So now think about you just said wow, but think about really why that's impactful. So think about all the people that maybe find you through your podcast first. I mean, iTunes is a search engine. You know, you're constantly up in the top 20, sometimes top 10, top 3 of best business podcasts. And, you know, if you're sitting there saying, hey, visit amyporterfield.com, and that's the first time me as a listener wants to go there, and it either doesn't load or now I have to start pinching, scrolling, and zooming, you know, my first interaction with you was the podcast. I'm like, oh, this is great content. I need to find out more about Amy. And I can't navigate around your site to find out maybe your about page and, you know, who you are, really what you're about, how you can help me further very quickly, then I'm going to leave. And the chances of me ever coming back again are probably very slim. So, you know, that's obviously where you want to convert people. You know, you're always driving people back to your site. So there's kind of this, really quickly, I'll go through it. There's this hierarchy of mobile users' needs. So myself as a mobile user, what do I need? At the base, you need access. So I need to access your content, right? So I need to be able to first get to your site and see what's there. The second is interaction, which really is that navigation. Once I'm there, can I do the things that I'm trying to accomplish? Can I subscribe to your email? Can I get to your about page? Can I go to, you know, other resources on your site? Then you have performance, which is, you know, usually overlooked. And something I caution everyone for when they're using a responsive template, sometimes responsive sites have performance issues. So performance is the third one, and then the last one is enhancement. So this is really the concept that your mobile browser, the mobile device, is different than your desktop browser. So it can do different things. So depending on your business, you know, now you can access location, you can access the accelerometer, use different keyboards to make typing in form fields much easier. So if you've ever tried to enter your zip code in a form field from a mobile phone and you've clicked into the form field and the alphanumeric keyboard came up, that's someone who wasn't paying attention. You could actually trigger the alphanumeric phone pad to come up, which obviously would be a lot easier to quickly enter a 5-digit number, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Those things like that, you can actually enhance that user's experience just by knowing that they're on that device. Very simple things that would make, you know, opting into forms easier, maybe filling out, you know, shipping and billing or something like that if you have physical products. So those four kind of pillars, if you will, of the mobile user's needs are access, interaction, performance, and enhancement. So as long as you meet those, it really doesn't matter which path you take of those three options to create your mobile site, because that's what your customer and your audience needs. They're not going to sit there and say, oh, I need Amy's site to be responsive, right? They just expect it to be a good experience. So, you know, however you accomplish that, you know, is based on your own business and your own budget and your own situation. So as long as you meet those four needs, you should be good.
Okay, cool. Because I think that's a great place for people to start. I love those three options you gave in the beginning, especially they work for those that are complete newbies and then those that want to kind of go in a little bit deeper. I love the third one, the responsive design. To me, I think that sounds like the best way to go.
Absolutely.
But I love that you've given some options there. Okay, so once people have made their website mobile friendly, what's their next step?
So the next thing I would do, I would highly recommend making sure your email is mobile friendly. I mean, we talked about, you know, that morning ritual, unfortunately, that we go through. So, you know, depending on which email service provider you're using, there are some things from a technology standpoint that could help your emails be more mobile friendly. But there's also just some things that have nothing to do with technology that actually will make your email mobile friendly. And
this one I'm really excited to hear about. I know nothing really about how to do this. And when you said that we use like our iPhones as a filter in the morning to delete a bunch of emails, that's so true. And I thought, okay, so tell me how to make sure that I don't find my own emails in that delete filter for people. What can
we
do?
Totally. So, you know, you'll hear a lot of people first talking about, you know, hey, you can use a responsive email template, which yes, you can use and it is great, but they don't see that first. They see, you know, if you look in your inbox, if you look on a mobile phone, most mobile phones, and I really haven't seen one that doesn't do this, first you see the name of who sent the email, so the from name. So in this case, you know, it would probably be Amy Porterfield. Mine go out as Greg Hickman. You know, usually that you have approximately 25 characters. So that actually is the largest font that will be in this person's inbox. So if you're using some sort of funky from name, you know, news@ or whatever, and it's the full email address, I would consider optimizing that to make sure that it's clear exactly who that email is coming from, because that is the largest font, and that's what comes first to kind of the eye when you open your mobile inbox.
Okay,
The second is obviously the subject line, which you have about 35 characters here, and I usually say about 5 to 7 words. So if you ever if you open up your phone and you look in your email inbox, you'll notice that depending on the length of words, you'll see probably about the first 5 or 7 before you get the dot, 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 and it gets truncated. So if you're using very, very long email subject lines, make sure that the first 5 to 7 words capture the essence of what the email is that is going to entice me, the reader, to open it. If I can't really tell what the email is going to be about in those first 5 to 7 words, the likelihood of me deleting it or being one of those many that I delete in that morning ritual is obviously going to increase. So make sure it's clear that as a reader within 5 to 7 words, and this is really, really hard. I mean, even I have trouble with this, you know, trying to optimize that, because there's no technical solution for this. This is pure just copywriting. Be straight to the point. You know, the subject line will not be responsive. When it knows it's hitting the mobile device, it won't change to something more mobile friendly. It's going to remain the same. So having something that's short, sweet, to the point, that, you know, convinces me to open in 5 to 7 words is super important. And then lastly, you'll see kind of the little preview, which is the pre-header of the email. Most email, pretty much all email service providers, AWeber, MailChimp, all of those allow you to have the pre-header, which is about 85 characters. And this is that kind of that preview into what the email is going to be about. So I highly recommend you make sure that you have a pre-header in there that kind of gives the reader some sort of clue as to what the email is going to be.
Okay, these are so good because they're so simple, but I've never even thought about that in terms of mobile. So what I did is I opened up my email on my iPhone and I'm seeing exactly what you're saying. So real quick, that what are you calling that? That pre-header?
Yeah.
So is that basically the first few lines of your email?
So if you don't include a pre-header, yes. It'll start just taking the beginning of your email, but you have the ability in tools like AWeber to add a pre-header, and it's your opportunity kind of to give a brief synopsis of what the
I love that option. Do you like that option? Do you think that's better than just starting out with the first few lines of your email?
Yeah, absolutely. I personally don't use it very often. And I think as content marketers, we probably can get away without it. But it's something that you should definitely try, especially if you have a really, really long email and you're communicating multiple things. So, I mean, I know in my my emails, I usually send about one a week. So, I'll mention a few things. So this would give you an opportunity to say, highlight the multiple things that you're talking about versus just having that first sentence where they'll never even know, maybe the two or three other topics that you're going to be talking about. So highly recommend using it. If you look at any brand, if you get any brand newsletters like Gap or whatever, they all have a pre-header that has some sort of message in there. Usually it's like the offer. So if it's like, if the offer is like, buy two jeans, get a third free or something, that's that sort of actionable offer is going to be in that pre-header almost all of the time. So having the call to action there would be a really good strategy.
Okay. I like what you said here. I'm glad I asked this question because the more I think about it with my audience and yours as well, I think it's good that they see like, hey, Greg, I'm writing to you today because I want to fill you in on a few tips. Like if it's more personal, I think if they see that as a pre-header coming from someone that they have a relationship with, like my audience has a relationship with me, I think I want them to see the, hey, John, or whatever in that email.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I know, absolutely. And I think even to add on to that is that, I can't think of many online marketers that I follow that their emails that I subscribe to that send super graphical emails. Like, they have like nice HTML templates, a few, some of them are starting to, but I actually this is a more of a personal thing. I actually like receiving the all text. I think, if I were just to send you, the emails that we exchanged before this interview, like, we're not putting super crazy nice graphics in there, it's just very personal, straight text. We're exchanging conversation that it actually makes me feel closer to you. And because, we are building these audiences and, in a lot of cases you have very passionate followers and, you continue to build that. Getting just that plain text email is almost like you sent me that personal email, If it always has this cool graphic and this wrapper and all this stuff, I don't know. To me, sometimes it just doesn't feel as personable and as intimate. So I just think that's something just to consider, depending
totally
on what
agree.
Your business is.
Definitely. So there's a lot of preferences in here, but the whole idea with making sure your name's really clear because it's the largest text and it's bolded, the subject line. And I always try to make short subject lines, but I was never really making them for the mobile devices. So now it's even more important to me to make the shorter subject lines, get to the point. And then that pre-header is really interesting to know. Okay. So those are great points. Keep going.
Yeah. And I guess, with email, I'll kind of mention two or three other things really quickly. One is the send time. And this is something I've just started experimenting with, mainly because that story sits in my head every single time. I mean, I wake up and I do the exact same thing that we talked about that, for me, that's, anywhere between 6 and 7 a.m. And so many articles that I read are like send between 6 and 7 a.m. be like that first one in the inbox.
Oh yeah, I do it every time.
Right. So I've actually went back and started looking at my emails, and the ones that at least hit the device like around between 8 and 9 a.m., I'm actually getting more open rates. And this is going to be this is going to skew for every single person. So this is just something you need to test.
Right.
But I really am sort of starting to believe that because of that morning filter kind of ritual that, you know, maybe as more and more people, at least if your own audience is opening from a mobile phone, that might not be as an effective time to send. So sending later in the day might be more efficient. And I'm actually starting to see other people do this now too. Not sure if that's the reason, but I mean, I've received emails from Derek Halpern, you know, at like 11:30 in the morning and stuff like that. I mean, almost all of us, I guess almost all of us are at a computer at that time. I mean, if
right.
people, if you know, if their audience has a full-time job or whatnot, you know, the likelihood of them being there is pretty high. So I would just test that, knowing that kind of ritual, if it's something that you actually do and you think your audience might be doing.
Oh, I'm going to experiment with that for sure, because you're right. We hear so many people tell us early morning, be that first email in their inbox. I'm starting to rethink that. And here's what I get so excited about online marketing. Behaviors are always changing as technology changes and the way we market changes. We've got to kind of go with the flow of that. So I think it's a great way just to experiment. Send your emails out a little bit later than maybe you normally do if you're like us, and we would do the 5 a.m., 6 a.m. times and just see what happens. So it's all about experimenting for sure.
Totally. And I mean, it kind of, as a bigger point, it's, you know, and this is one of the reasons that I started Mobile Mixed in the first place, is that I saw smaller businesses trying to mimic bigger brands' strategies. You know, they would just replicate the exact same thing and they wouldn't get the same results, and they'd kind of get this bad taste in their mouth about mobile. And, you know, their customers are completely different than, say, Target, right? So, you know, Amy Porterfield's fans, you know, listeners of this podcast right now, aren't necessarily going to be the exact same as, say, you know, a Derek Halpern. So, you know, if you were to do exactly what Derek Halpern does all the time, and that's just an example, because we mentioned him earlier,
right?
You know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. So, you know, your audience might open their emails at 6 a.m. all the time, and, you know, mine might not. So, again, just something that you have to test, and, you know, with everything in marketing, but I definitely see that a lot in mobile, is just, you know, kind of the Me Too concept.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. So, okay. So this is good stuff. We've got, you know, the first initial question was, where do we start? And making our websites mobile friendly, definitely a must, but also exploring our email marketing, equally important. So I'm so glad you brought that up. I've never really explored that, and it's something I'm going to pay a lot of attention to as well. So we just have a few minutes, but I want to also talk a little bit about our sales pages and our lead mm-hmm. pages, because do you agree that's another big part of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as obviously online business builders, content marketers, the website being mobile friendly allows them to engage with us, start, you know, learning more about the content. We're educating them, you know, teaching sales. And at some point though, we're trying to convert them into some sort of customer. And that usually happens on, you know, a lead page where they're opting into a program, or, you know, obviously a sales page where they're actually buying something. So making sure those pages are optimized to convert from a mobile phone is super important, especially when you want to turn that audience into paying customers. So there's really only one or two tools that I recommend. If you're using a responsive theme, depending on the theme that you have, most likely there's a good chance that they have a landing page template that you can use. So that landing page inherently would be responsive as well. But the one that I'm really digging right now is Lead Pages by a company called Leadbrite and Clay Collins. I believe you've mentioned him on your show at some point.
Oh my God, such a fan of Lead Pages. I'll definitely include a link to their tools because I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, so I use that, you know, all the time now for webinar registration pages, for email opt-in pages. You know, they have some really nice video templates. And if you look in their tool, slowly but surely, they're making all of them, or many of them, responsive. So, you know, whatever device they're on, whether it's a tablet, you know, iPad mini, iPad 3, Nexus, or even, you know, your iPhone or Android, you know, they're responding, and, you know, very, very nice to, you know, have people opt in from those. So highly recommend Lead Pages. But one thing I would mention about using Lead Pages for mobile, and again, something you need to test. Some people are very used to, you know, long form sales pages, but knowing your mobile customer and when you're sending the email and things like that. I would just start recommending for people to test how early they offer the call to action. You know, I've definitely read lead page or sales pages where, you know, you read 2,000 words, 5,000 words, and then the kind of the call to action button is way at the bottom. Well, if they're doing that from a mobile phone, you want that call to action to happen sooner. Maybe it could be through a text link or, you know, a button, but having something, you know, earlier on in the page so it's not like a never-ending scroll is something I think people should be testing. And even testing just way shorter lead forms or sales pages. Maybe take all the copy and turn it into a quick 30-second video or a minute-long video. People love watching, you know, fairly short videos from their phone. It could be a really easy way to take all this crazy copy, put into a sales page, and, you know, get people to convert. And I know that a few online marketers now are starting, I'm starting to see that using lead pages.
Yes, definitely. Again, it's all about experimenting, but just really understanding the behaviors of your online traffic as well. So such great points. And I do want to point out, because I mentioned this in the beginning, that on Facebook, when you have a custom app, it's not going to be seen initially on a mobile phone, meaning if you don't do anything to make sure a mobile user sees that custom app, they're not going to see it. So next time you're on your iPhone or on your smartphone, go to somebody's Facebook page, not your own, but go to somebody else's. And you'll notice right away that you're not going to see any of their custom apps. So how do you get around this? Well, there's different tools that you can use to create a custom app, and they'll give you a mobile link, meaning using that link to direct your traffic to a custom app, anyone on a mobile will actually see that custom app. So I'll include some tools that people can explore in the show notes. So you can find all the links to this show at amyporterfield.com/12, the number 12. And I'll include some links to that as well as lead pages. And also, while we're on the topic, Greg, where can people learn more about you?
Sure. So they can visit mobilemixed.com. That's mobile, mixed.com/Amy. And they'll, you know, anyone listening will get free access to my mobile marketing toolkit, which has a bunch of resources, videos, worksheets, kind of how-to guides that really will make sure that as you're diving into mobile that you start in the right place and you tackle the right things first. So if you want to get that, you can go to mobilemix.com/Amy. And if you want to find me on Twitter, it's just at GJHickman, H-I-C-K-M-A-N.
Perfect. And I have to say, Greg is truly my go-to guy when it comes to mobile marketing. You're really the only guy I follow with anything to do with mobile. So I really thank you for spending the time with us today and always helping me with my mobile marketing. I truly appreciate you being here.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. And I have to thank you too, because ever since we got to meet at New Media Expo, you've been super helpful in helping me grow, you know, my own business. So, you know, everyone that listens obviously has a great coach. So You're one of my coaches as well.
Well, that's a huge compliment. So thank you so much. I'm just so excited to see you continue to do amazing things. You're in high demand. I will say that when I asked Greg to be on the show, I wanted to hurry because everybody's asking Greg for interviews because you know so much about this mobile marketing, and it's pretty cool to be that in-demand guy. So I'm really excited to see what you do in the future. And thanks again for being on the show. So there you have it. Mobile marketing isn't as tough as you might have thought, right? There's some really easy strategies we can get started with right away to make our website and our email marketing mobile friendly. Now, the show notes and all the links that we talked about in this show can be found at amyporterfield.com/12, the number 12. Also, if you like this podcast, I would really love for you to tell your friends. Just go to amyporterfield.com/love and you can tweet about it and help me spread the word. So until next time, make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast at www.amyporterfield.com.